Hello and welcome to NetSound's new podcast, The Natter, with me, Jamie McDonald. The Natter podcast grew from our isolation interviews that we ran during the coronavirus lockdown. It's a talky podcast that focuses on individuals involved within the music scene. My first Natter With features one of the unsung heroes from the Scottish music scene, Callum Martin. He's an audio technician who runs his own production company that's brought sound and light to venues and festivals across the Highlands of Scotland and beyond. NetSounds. So, it is NetSounds with Jamie McDonald here, and I'm joined by Callum Martin. Callum, how are you?
Hello. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Brilliant.
Just saying before we started this recording that this is my first time in the studio here, broadcasting.
Now, what all the buttons do, that's the question I get most
it's, of the time. Yeah, it's weird. After about 10 years, I think I've figured out most of them.
I think. Probably no record and stop again.
Yeah, no, actually, that's the one I usually forget is the record one.
Okay.
I'll maybe come in to do a pre-record, a show or something, and I'll be really chuffed with my intro and the first track and what I've said about the next track, and I glance over and realise nothing's recording. Anyway, Callum Martin, for those of you who don't know, Callum Martin is one of our unsung heroes in the north of Scotland and perhaps beyond. In terms of live music, Callum Martin from CMPS. I've got that right, haven't I?
You do, yeah.
That's off to a good start then. And so Callum is one of our sound engineers from the north who, I guess it's fair to say, you do everything from hiring out a mic to someone to a full stage setup at a festival.
Yeah, I mean, pre-COVID, that's what we did. And hopefully we'll get back to that. That's the dream. Hopefully we'll get a vaccine and can continue to do that.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate, and there's lots of things I want to talk around that, which we'll do in a minute. This kind of started off, Callum, as a series of, as you know, and maybe people listening to the podcast or if they've ever checked out our website, a series of kind of, I think we called them isolation interviews, where we dropped in some of our musical friends, just see how they were doing and ask them some questions. So we missed one of those, and that was yours, and we felt really bad. And then we thought, right, okay, you were just coming out of shielding, so maybe we'll ask you some different questions. And then I remembered we were going to start doing these podcasts again, so that let's actually speak to Callum. And see how things are doing. So how did you, because I mean everything stopped. In fact, I think you were one of the last people I probably spoke to just before lockdown in terms of from the music scene in the Highlands. I think you were probably one of the last people I spoke to, and we had some ideas that we were floating about, and then lockdown happened and kind of just put the kibosh on all of that. So
it really did.
How did that affect you? Because that's your bread and butter. That is what you do. It's what you live for.
It's very hard. It's like almost the door just being shut on you and having very little support, and you know, you've got family and friends and everything, but not being able to go out and do what is your job but you love the most is very, very difficult, and still to this day it's, you know, hopefully we'll get out there one day and do that again. It was really tricky and is still really tricky.
Because not only did you obviously, like everyone else, into lockdown, but you were shielding as well.
Yes, yeah.
With your family. And you also, you don't like live in the city centre or anywhere like that. You're in the outskirts of Inverness, aren't you?
We're out in Styx. We're out above Foyers in a wee village called Gorslick.
Yeah.
About 21 miles out of town.
So was that even more of a challenge?
Yes and no. I mean, being out here, you know, sometimes you can have busy spells at work, sometimes you can have really quiet spells at work. So, I mean, this kind of was just like a long spell of, this could have been, you could probably say it was a bit like the start of the year again, going sort of January to March is always pretty quiet. And then add a few more months onto that. And that's basically what this has been, but mm-hmm. on a far more extreme level. So being out here, you know, in ways it was easier because we didn't have the, you know, the amenities and shops and things as close as you would be in town. So if you needed something, you'd have to go online and order it and wait.
Yeah.
You know, which is fine. That's kind of the norm anyway. But we didn't have the pressure of having to go, all right, I need to go and find, you know, my mask and be careful and go into Tesco or wherever. There's many shops available. You know, not risk, well, risk ourselves, but there just wasn't that pressure. And I mean, it's kind of been nice as well.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
To relax a bit, I mean, especially after, you know, I was kind of just getting back into work after having my surgery. And then, there we go, locked up. So, for me, I was very slowly just gradually getting back into the shape of things. And so, on that side of things, it's been a lot trickier. But being out here, I think being up here in the Highlands, we're very lucky.
Yeah, and I think where you are as well probably is a little bit of a blessing as well. I think there's lots of people down south who would love to trade places with you, I guess, right now.
I mean, it's still, you know, you wouldn't believe that the roads were kind of still as busy as they were when this wasn't around. So that kind of confused us a bit. And there was people up on holiday and there was many a caravan going past the house, and we're thinking, you know, well, you shouldn't be here and all this.
Where are you going? Yeah.
Yeah, and it was getting to the point that we were beginning to kind of question, right, okay, this is a bit of a joke now, kind of the stuff that was, you know, we were very surprised at how busy the roads and stuff were. So,
Take me back to the beginning then, in terms of you and getting into the job that you do. How did it all start? Because I remember you being, you know, one of the regular guys that you would see, just, you know, not just, but, you know, doing the sound at a gig. Now it's your business. You've expanded it. So how did you get into this in the first place and develop it to where it is now?
For those who don't know me, I was born partly blind. So through school, that hasn't really fazed me as much, but I think kind of linked to the eyesight, weirdly enough, I was really attracted to lights. So through secondary school, I met, I think a chap was Mr. Boardman, was the chemistry teacher in school. He was the chap that did all the lights, and then I think I kind of stole his thunder once I met him and did a couple of shows, and then we did Guys and Dolls and you name it. Greece, there were all kinds of shows. So it was a hobby that, well, kind of a small interest came into a hobby. And then every present for Christmas and birthdays was a light. And that's kind of where the whole process started.
Weren't just getting random light bulbs and things like that, were you?
No. I think, well, actually, I did get a couple. Because my dad is an electrician. So we made some, like, homemade lights when I was, you know, I think they were maybe trying to put me off the idea of, let's spend loads of money on nice new lights and let's build something from B&Q and see what we can put together, which is still in the garage, funnily enough. It didn't work. I'm still doing it. I kind of grew up through school, and then I met Steve Robertson and did some sound and hoots with a band who I'm still working with, well, not the band, but the man who fronted the band, Marty Parrott, did his sound with the soundtrack and Red Kites, and grew up in Hoots when I was meant to be studying and doing my homework, which I did, but I would still go out and mix some bands Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And that's kind of where it grew. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with life and jobs and things. I think I had a phase of I think every wee boy wanted to be a digger driver. So that was a bit of a phase. And I mean, I drove my grandpa's tractor and stuff, so I think that's probably as close as I could get to that.
Do you know what? Things are changing. You could go back into that career. You don't knock it yet. Don't knock it.
I think, well, I might make some money out of that. So I might do that.
Yeah. What kind of music were you listening to during lockdown? Because I was talking to people about this recently. There's a mixture of, and I was telling you before we started this, that I was listening to a lot of non-music podcasts, and I was listening to a lot of classical music. And kind of chill out ambient music. And I was interested because when we asked you, you said you were listening to a lot of stuff like John Mayer, The Police, Prince, Queen.
Yeah, I mean,
that kind of stuff.
All kinds of stuff. I mean, my dad and I will sit downstairs and we'll just put on. I tell you what, we did find was a German chap called Martin Miller and his pals, and they're based in Germany, and they are the most amazing session players you can think of. And all their covers, they do like 30-minute covers of The Police and Queen. And it's honestly staggering how close it is. If you closed your eyes, you would think it was the band.
Really?
Especially the Police one. And probably better. I mean, Dad and I seen The Police for my 21st in Twickenham.
Oh, I was at the very same gig.
No way.
I was at Twickenham, yep.
That was, I mean, they were great.
That's spooky.
But they could have given them a run for their money. They were very good. So, yeah, I mean, we'll just stick on anything on YouTube and local stuff as well. You know, thinking of Lino back at the weekend and the live stream.
Yeah, they did a live stream, which was a really cool thing to do.
But I watched it later on and completely blown away. Just fantastic. Anything really. Kind of have quite an eclectic taste, and because I have to mix, well, anything could walk into the doors of any of the venues I work in and go, right, there you go, make that work.
Yeah, there's no point being a musical snob about it.
Yeah, no, completely not.
I was listening to an interview with Matt Berenger, if that's how you pronounce his name, from The National. And he was saying, similar to what you did, that you were doing, he was listening to a lot of classic music, like, you know, Neil Young and Police and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because it just sounded so right for the moment. It was, you know, songs like, I don't know, Nina Simone, Neil Young and people like that. They just seem to resonate right now. And there's a bit, I think, comfort in it.
Definitely. I mean, I've kind of got songs that you go to and, you know, you're kind of in a weird mood or whatever, and especially now. And I don't know, maybe need to put a playlist together. I'm not really one for making playlists or making tapes and stuff. Well, not that many do tapes. I seen your photo of your wee cassette player. That was awesome.
Still works.
That's amazing. I don't know if I have one. But
trying to explain to Martha, who's almost six, how it works.
This is what I used to cut you.
And she was a bit confused by, to play the next song, you had to maybe wait 5 minutes for the thing to fast forward. But she did like the idea of like re-spooling it with a pencil. She quite liked that one.
That is, you know, I mean, that's just brilliant.
It's a classic life skill, that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
How has mum or dad been entertaining you during lockdown in terms of the kitchen? Who does the cooking in the house, or who was doing the cooking?
Well, my mum was brought up on a farm with, you know, her mum being a very good cook. And that's kind of all passed down through their children and to my mum and her sisters. And mum is really the only cook that is worth mentioning, to be honest. If dad makes anything, you know, because the smoke detector goes off.
Okay.
Go, oh, that's dinner.
That's the first sign.
I'm just not very good. But it's not an excuse, but I was always out working like late, so I would always just rush to
something,
or I wouldn't be in, so it's really only now that I've kind of gone, oh, my take up cooking a bit more.
Leave it to the experts, Callum. Leave it to the experts.
Well, that's what I'm kind of thinking, of being safer hands that way. If not, I won't poison myself or dad or anyone. So,
you have your skill set. You have your skill set.
Yeah. I light the candles and.
Yeah, you put some lights on and stuff.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Any random stuff you were buying online then during lockdown? Because everyone's had weird things.
I'll
tell you mine if you tell me yours.
Okay.
Mine was silicon ice cube, what do you call them? Ice cube tray, that's what they're called. There were six in a tray, and they were about 2 inches by 2 inches each. And I was running with one of my mates, and he gave me a beautiful gin and tonic with this one massive ice cube in it. And it just looked, I mean, he's an amazing kind of barman anyway, but one massive ice cube, and but they take up quite a bit of room in the freezer, I have to say.
They do, yeah. Do you like the wee compartment bit for, like,
No, we don't. It's in one of the over-full drawers at the bottom somewhere,
And then crushed with everything else on top.
And then you find a empty half packet of peas or something at the bottom underneath it or something like that. Yeah.
Or peas managed to get into the ice tray.
A bit of a cardboard box that used to belong to a packet of waffles from 10 years ago or something. Yeah. Anyway, enough about me. What random things were you buying online?
What did I get? Oh, start of lockdown, I was like, right, I might try and learn some guitar a bit more. So I bought a nice wee guitar amp, and needless to say, I've actually not put it on since I got it, I think maybe first couple of days I messed around with it, and it's just that motivation thing. I don't know, I kind of thought, right, I'll do this, and I'll sit down and get some nice chords and stuff on the go, and I just haven't done it. So I think now that I've mentioned it, I should probably look it out tomorrow. Yeah.
But actually, you were on. You were doing some Facebook Live sessions with your old man, weren't you?
Oh dear! Yeah, we were.
You were entertaining them. It was like the Royal Variety Show.
It was. It wasn't as funny. I mean, it probably sounded bad in comparison to the Royal Variety. But
you did. You and your old man set up what basically drum and bass and what was the setup?
It changed primarily bass for dad, but there was one or two he did on guitar. I think we did seven in total. And it was just a bit of a laugh, because I haven't had my drums out since the last gig I drummed, and I can't even think when that was. I think it was the Toby Michaels Rolling Damned gig in Eden Court. And to tell you the truth, I can't remember when that was. I kind of thought, right, let's dust this off. And with the clap for caterers and everyone, you know, all the people doing amazing stuff to help the place go and survive and whatnot, we thought we would do our bit, because if we did it in town, I think we'd get a lot of complaints. saying that, we got a lot of complaints from my mum, and it didn't stop us. But
it was kind of like watching a kind of...
Dumb and Dumber?
No, I was thinking more of White Stripes, but...
Okay, well, that's nice.
Yeah, I don't know who's who, though. I'm not sure that's...
No.
But you both looked incredibly happy, and your dad was just like... It was hilarious. It was like, he was just like rolled out and says, right, you will do this, and he's like, hey, I'm up for this.
Do you know what? He was the one So, the format was... Initially, we just did a couple of tunes. The first video, we literally just scraped and jammed together and got by on the skin of our teeth. And I think most of them kind of followed like that afterwards. But the next ones, I got backing tracks, and we played along to the tracks, and people sent in requests. And we managed to get through most of them, I think. I don't think I've left anyone out.
No, I think I'm forming something in my head here. Maybe I could get my old disco lights out, and we could do something here together in the future. I think we could.
That sounds good.
We could hire ourselves out.
My dad loves playing guitar and bass, and
yeah,
he played the first Live Aid gig. There was one.
What?
not the first Live Aid, but the one up here, and I think it was in a big aircraft hangar.
Okay.
And I believe Josh from Lionel, his dad Andy Murray, did the sound for it. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Double check all this, but my dad, I'm sure he said it was Andy that was doing the sound.
Yeah, there was. I remember way back there was a series of kind of charity events, like trying to do that Live Aid thing.
Yeah.
So he was in, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I thought for a minute you were going to say he was on after Status Quo or something at Wembley or something, but
it wouldn't surprise me at all.
But
yeah, so that's kind of what we got up to, and it was a laugh, and we kind of changed. We did some inside because the weather was bad, and we literally rehearsed half an hour before we hit record because my dad's been working from home the whole time,
and
with his work, it kind of, you know, he can. Well, Dad's very work oriented, and he'll carry on. You know, he'll get up at stupid o'clock and work all day, which is fine. You know, he gets his hours in and whatnot. Good on him. But we kind of have to remind him to stop and whatnot. But
it's difficult, Callum. I think if you're working at home, because I'm doing that just now. So I think if you're working at home, you've got to be really disciplined, and also it's sometimes difficult to switch off. And know when the end of the day is.
If I was doing that kind of thing, because I find it difficult, you know, coming home from a gig, and it's just the excitement from it, you know. So yeah, I can completely understand and all. So
that's good. He's been working all the way through, and I guess keeping it in mischief as well. That's quite
good. He's kind of doing our heads in, but.
Fathers do, I'm afraid. That's part of the job description. And you must obviously now be at that stage where you're kind of itching to get back to work and to a gig. And I remember when I was reading some of your emails when we were talking about doing this article online, and it's sometimes the buzz of even setting up a gig, arriving at the gig, meeting people. It's that. I know where you're coming from with that. It's as important as the gig itself. It's everything that goes into that, and everything. Yeah,
we put the hours in so people have a good time. You know, what we do is kind of providing an escape for people, I guess, at the end of the day. You know, whatever's going on in people's lives, they can go out and have a good time listening to their favourite band or comedian or theatre or dance, you know. Yeah. Regardless of the content, there's people there from 3 o'clock in the morning or, you know, middle afternoon to make it work, and that's us, and that's what we do and love, and because we enjoy it.
When we just started this conversation earlier, I said you were one of the unsung heroes, and I wasn't joking, and I refer to all people in your industry that are having to have that moment just now where they can't work and they feel helpless, and because it's one of those jobs where I know people, some of your colleagues as well, and you just know their passion and enthusiasm for it, and it's something from, I remember from first gigs I ever went to, I was always kind of fascinated by kind of seeing what was going on behind the scenes and how it worked, and so there's always a kind of, and a lot of people have that kind of, I guess, interest in what actually goes into make a show, and, but lots of people it's unknown to them what happens in a show, and
I don't know if it's quite as much as 50-50, but there's certainly a larger percentage of people that probably go to it and don't realise that we're there.
And do you know what? I think that's a sign of the job that you do, because it's kind of like a magic show.
Our job, really, if 90% of the time stuff goes right, if it goes wrong, there's people that turn around and go, what's happening, you know? And if it goes right, then we're doing stuff right.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing our job right, and And that's all we can wish for. But we're working with technology and stuff, and people, we're all human, we all make mistakes. So, you know, stuff goes wrong. And then that's when the people that don't notice you suddenly do notice you, and, you know. So, may that continue at some point.
I always used to love going to big shows outside, and you'd see... You knew the band was about to come on when you'd see the guy climbing the rig at the top to to get ready.
And I thought,
he's cool. He's one of the heroes of the show, that guy up there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember Dad and I went to see The Darkness, that's a while ago, at the SECC. The Hydro wasn't around at this point, and we didn't even realise we had standing tickets, and we were right at the front. And... The follow spot ops, I didn't have a clue what they did at the time. Climbed up, like, I don't know, 20 minutes before they started, and it's like, oh, they're, you know, they've been up there a while, they're not coming down, and then you realise that, you know.
Yeah, they're up there for the show.
And they can't go to the toilet and whatnot.
So, yeah.
You know, it's really a whole bunch of people that make it work.
Yeah, it's incredible, and it's everyone that goes into making that show, and genuinely, you know, it's if any part of that is not well oiled or it's missing, the show isn't the same, and the artists don't enjoy it the same, and then the crowd don't enjoy it the same.
What do you
think the future is going to look like for live music for you and people in your industry, but also for shows and bands and artists? What do you see happening?
I mean, I can't see it just, well, it's kind of grinding to a halt, but that's more, well, that is the industry, but I kind of hope that we can kind of scrape it together and go back to what we're doing. I mean, I don't think it'll be normal for a while. I think we'll have loads of socially distanced gigs and events, and how we pull it off, that's all going to be down to health and safety, and that's the most important thing, is making sure people are safe before we go ahead and say, let's put this band on. It has to be safe. And I think we'll get back to it. It's a matter of when. But I think, you know, the whole live stream thing, that's been huge. I have every faith that it will be back. It's just when.
I agree with you, Callum. I think it is going to be back. I think the patience game will be interesting, and it'll be a challenge. I think nothing's going to get in the way of people's, well, obviously this is getting in the way, but in terms of people's love for music, it is going to happen again in some way. People, we need to be safe. We need to make sure everyone is safe, that the venue is safe and all that kind of stuff.
All the precautions have to be in place.
It's going to happen.
It will happen. It's
we have to be positive.
I can't say when, but I can't see it before the end of the year.
No, but it's so difficult. I'm saying be positive, but it is so difficult to be positive with it. And I like probably you and others have gone through that up and down of kind of thoughts and emotions about it all. And some days it's like, well, whatever. And then the next day, and like tonight, I'm speaking to you, feeling quite positive about it all. And I think it's going to, you know, it will. And I absolutely believe that it will at some point. But we have to see how it's going to happen.
Absolutely. I mean, like this week and the past couple of weeks, I've been looking at applying for different jobs and things, and I've had to update my CV because I haven't actually looked at my normal, if you can call it normal, CV for years. And that's because I've been so busy, like in this industry, that I haven't had to think about it. So it was a bit crazy going back, going, oh, geez, I actually need to redo this whole thing. You know, I'd quite happily take any job on just now, but there's the whole thing of I was isolating. If we have to go into that again, there's no point in me doing that. But I've got to live, so I need to kind of take the risk, and hopefully something will come up. But, you know, I want to get back to mixing gigs. That's the long and the short of it.
Yeah, and that day will come, and just... Let's hope everything stays safe for you and all the family until that happens. Tell me, we make events. You've been sharing some of their stuff as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
So that's kind of basically the industry has had so, you know, little support that this kind of started this, we make events is run, I think it was Plaza, who are like, what could you say? They're like the industry gods, you could say. They run, like, they do a yearly show. Like, if you went to, like, a caravan or an ideal home show or something, there's a production, a PA lighting video, you name it, week, where you can go down and visit all the new tech and catch up with everyone. These people started this campaign called We Make Events, and basically everyone, you've probably seen my profile picture on Facebook, it's got the We Make Events, and everyone's profile pictures are red, or because people are lighting up buildings all over the place red, and it's just to try and get our voice heard, and like with the government, because they're just taking the piss, to be honest, to put it not politely. It's just, you know, we're the ones that make the noise, but we're not being heard. So it's to try and drum up some support, really. So on www.plaza.org/WeMakeEvents, if you can go and sign that, that would be amazing.
That's just what you said there, Callum, is spot on, is that, you know, you make the noise but not being heard, which is a really powerful statement. And we're going to put the links up to this on the website as well, so that people can sign up to that and read a bit more about what that's about. So we'll share that. And also, I read that you're doing some mentoring with Music Plus, which I love these guys.
Music Plus is great. It was kind of out of the blue that it kind of happened, and very quickly picked up momentum of me signing up to tutor for them. So I'm doing some live sound tutoring with
Music Plus.
And, if anyone, you know, if you want to...
For 14, 19-year-olds, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, between 14 and 19. And it's completely free. You go and sign up on their website, and hopefully, I don't know, maybe you can share that link as well. It'd be great.
Yeah, we'll share that one as well. Music Plus is one of those organisations that we've got a lot of time for and done work with them in the past. And I think,
fantastic guys.
Yeah, anyone interested in music, aged between 14 and 19, lives in Scotland as far as I know, and wants to be involved in making any kind of music or working in the music industry, then they can get involved.
You've said it. That's it. It's a real pleasure to be involved with Music Plus.
So you're offering kind of mixing and kind of mastering services as part of that?
Well, I'm kind of giving an insight or tutoring or whatever you want to put it. That's kind of what I'm
mentoring,
doing.
Mentoring,
that's the one. And, it's very tricky to explain a mixing desk without having a mixing desk in front of you, but... With Zoom and things and all kinds of, it's not Zoom we use, but, you know, with all these new technologies, we can make it a bit easier. And you can Zoom right in on the desk now, so it's a lot easier in a way.
Yeah.
It's still very difficult without a PA system and stuff in front of you, but you get the idea. That's kind of what...
Yeah, absolutely. No, we'll share the links for that, Callum, as well. And I'm sitting here with a mixing desk, and as I said earlier on, there's a few things I know how to work in it. There's an awful lot I don't know how to work in it, but that's another thing. And do you know what? It's just come into my mind here. Maybe it's that time of the night, and I'm getting a bit peckish, but I can't wait to be at a gig again. Cheeky handshake, your death grip handshake. And hopefully arrive at the very time that you've just ordered pizza so I can steal a slice.
Fingers crossed, I'll keep you a slice. I don't know about hoodie, but we'll see.
Callum, it's been an absolute pleasure to catch up with
Likewise.
You. It's taken so long to have this conversation when we had all these interviews on, but I'm actually glad it's worked out the way it has and we've left it to do this instead of a kind of written piece. It's been great.
An absolute pleasure.
It's a kind of series of talky podcasts that we're kind of starting now, but I kind of feel I want to maybe play us out with a little piece of music. Is there a band you've worked with recently, or is there a band from the Highlands here that you think you would want to pick a song from?
So I was hoping, I when you messaged me about doing this, I was like, right, I want to get this person a track and
okay,
you know, try and plug them a bit. So yeah, Marty Parrott, who's now gone off solo doing his own thing.
Yeah,
he's a bit more chilled out than Red Kites and whatnot, but it's lovely. So I'm very fortunate. I was in school with Marty and kind of built this relationship from school with, you know, working with him and going out and doing his tours. So before my heart surgery in November last year, we did a tour, and I literally finished the local show here in Whitebridge.
Yeah.
And went down to Glasgow for my surgery the day after.
Wow.
Well, my surgery wasn't quite the day after, but I was admitted then. But
yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of my style. I'll do a gig and then go and have heart surgery. So very rock and roll. So yeah, Motti, he sent me over a solo track because he's still in the midst of sorting his album out, which will be soon. It will be out soon. And I still not heard it, even though I do the gigs, but that's a whole different thing. But yeah, I've got this track, Motti, and it's called Song for the Insects.
Excellent. We'll finish off with that. Callum, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. And
thank you.
Listen, love to the family, and we'll see them all soon, hopefully.
Yeah, thank you, Jamie.
Cheers, Callum.
Take care.
Remember when, in summertime, the fronts of cars were insect-strewn. Now a lucky find is one or two. On country roads and clear nights, clouds of moths caught in the lights, or a downhill mouthful on my bike. How long will it take for us to promise? And how much will be at stake before you notice the empty air, the silent trees, the loss of vibrant quivering everything? It should mean everything to us. Tiny thing, these tiny beings, these tiny little happenings, our future rests upon their wings.